Hey, everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. In today's episode, I'm going to do something on the episode that I do in my day-to-day real life all the time, specifically when I'm working with clients. I'm going to use an AI and ask an AI. I think today I'm going to be using ChatGPT. I'm going to ask ChatGPT to explain something, and I'm going to tell you why I want it to explain something. But first, I'm going to set it up with this. In the past 2 years, so here's what I do normally. I'll have a client come in. I do this with kids a lot because so many of the kids I'm working with, they use, you know, chat or, you know, one of the Gronk or whatever AI that they like and they have the app with. They'll use it just to get random information, to pass tests, to write papers, what have you. So they seem to have this relationship with AI, being it right or wrong, that they feel AI is the answer for, or can give them answers for almost anything. Now, we know as adults that AI is not perfect. It does not give you always the best answers. And sometimes you just got to know how to prompt it and how to ask better questions. So what I've been doing lately is, for example, let's say I have a teen boy that I'm working with that has ADHD and some behavioral issues, some different types of challenges, right? I will tell the kid, I say, hey, I want you to pull up your AI, and they'll pull it up. I go, I want you to type in this prompt. And then they'll go, okay. And so I go, what's the prompt? Say, show me the signs and symptoms of a teen boy that has ADHD that was adopted or only has one parent. I just give some specific details that kind of encompass a lot of what that young person is going through in their life. They'll press send, they'll look at it, and I go, now read me the different steps and different things it says. So the teen will go down there and they start reading things, and then their eyebrow starts to lift up. They go, wait, what? Huh? They start to notice some of these small nuanced things that was going on in their life. They just attributed those things to like, oh, they're having a bad mood, or they just had a bad day. But once they start to read out how it manifests itself as a teen boy with ADHD and all these different qualifiers, they start to really connect with that information. It's almost as if what I've been trying to tell them for recent months, it just hits home for some reason. It just sticks. So once they get that information to stick, then we reverse engineer it. And I say, okay, so now let's go back to some of the reasons why I was telling you to do X, Y, or Z. And then they'll be like, oh, so that's why you're telling me that I should try to negotiate instead of demand with my parents. Yeah. Oh, so that's why people treat me differently in class, because instead of working on these things, I was just avoiding these things and just telling people that they're crazy, or, you know, they're the ones that have problems. Like, I didn't do any of these things. So basically what it does is it mirrors back to them information and knowledge that when they're reading it, especially when they're reading it in front of me, if they're reading it from their parent, they'd try to backpedal and try, oh no, well, no, this is different. And, you know, gosh, for some reason, my chat GPT hasn't been working lately. And they would try to change the narrative and try to change the story. But with me, I know where all the bodies are buried, meaning I know all their secrets because, you know, teens have opened up and told me their secrets. People have opened up and told me their secrets. So even when I do this with adults, they're saying something to me about themselves that they know is true, and they're watching my reaction, listening to it, smiling, nodding my head, and I could tell sometimes they want to debate, they want to argue, but it's undeniable. I know it's true, they know it's true. However, when they're watching my reaction, they're not seeing me shake my head side to side and being pissed off and angry that they have these challenges or that the AI actually pegged them completely of what their struggles are. They look at me and I give them this head nod, a smile, like, see, you know what? This is not who you are. It's something you're dealing with. This is not who you are. It's something you're going through. And then as we reverse engineer it, I start to tell them, hey, listen, that's why I'm telling you, you should take my suggestion. I'm debating with their ego. I'm trying to negotiate with reason. I'm trying to help them be more conscious and aware of how their behaviors and how their attitude and the things they say, how it affects people. And so what I figured out what I was doing is something that I've done in psychology for a long time, and I didn't invent this. In fact, I think they found out about it in Italy. I can't remember exactly, but I'm about to pull up and share with you guys what has been the thing that I've been using with ChatGPT to help my clients acknowledge where they're at and to trigger something inside their brain called mirroring neurons. So we're going to talk about mirroring neurons in just a moment, but I want to give you a little personal example and a personal story of how I've been able to use mirroring neurons to help my kids relieve some of their stress, that relieve some of their anxieties. So in the past probably 3 years, but definitely the past 2 years. Yeah. Since COVID, but definitely in the past year and a half, I'll say, I've been struggling with really bad anxiety. And for me, really bad anxiety might be a walk in the park for someone else. I've always had anxiety, like in sporting events, you know, like when I'm about to perform some sort of athletic thing or a talk that I'm giving, whatever. So it's not like I've never had anxiety. Everybody experiences anxiety. Just when it gets out of control, it affects your eating, your sleeping, affects a lot of things in your day-to-day life, affects your ability to make decisions, just your overall self-confidence. And so in the past year and a half, when I've been struggling with this anxiety, it really affected my sleep bad. And then me not sleeping well just made it really difficult for me to make decisions and to be as confident in some of the things that I should have been confident in. And so what took place was I started to notice that, so my son, for example, he already struggles with really being hard on himself. On the outside, it looks like he's angry and pissed off and he's unreasonable about things. But on the inside, he's just very, very hard on himself. It's self-anger. He doesn't take it out on anyone else. He doesn't get mad at other kids. He doesn't treat anyone badly. It's all on himself. And so this whole entire time, this past year and a half, I'm just going, man, like, this is something that I never dealt with as a kid, at least not that I can remember. Well, I'll get to that in a moment. And so he's my oldest son. And so for those of you who have listened to this podcast or watched it on YouTube for a long time or been to any of my speaking engagements or seminars, you'll know that the father oldest son, the mother oldest daughter is a very unique relationship. So what I mean by that, I'm not going to get into it, but he will actually feel everything that I'm feeling. I'll feel everything that he's feeling. He's constantly vibing off me, and I'm like the first male figure in his life. I'm his dad. He's got no other older brothers to look up to. Like, it's this relationship between he and I, even though he and I are so different in our personality in a lot of ways, like he's like 80, 85% my wife, but he's got my gift of gab. He's got like my, hey, what's up? How you doing? So he's got a little bit of me, but he's very structured. He's very organized. He's very to the point. Much like my wife or me, I'm like, we could talk for a long time. We get lost in the weeds, you know. My Polynesian side's like, I'll get there eventually, you know what I mean? So this is something that I just didn't feel like I had an effect on him, because I'm like, hey, I didn't give him this intense anger and frustration. I didn't, like, he's not like me in those categories, so I can help him, but I can't relate to him. So I thought, since I couldn't relate to him, that I didn't have as much influence over on him. Then I started to remember what I've done with my clients in the past, and I realized that I have anxiety really bad, especially in the past year and a half, and I'm transferring that onto him, and I don't even realize I'm doing it. Because mirroring neurons, the way mirroring neurons work, and I'll read out to you in a second, he's picking up everything that I'm doing, and in my mind, I don't see my facial expressions. I don't see that my sweet intentions may not come out as sweet as I think they are. And so I've really been focusing in this past 6 weeks to try to really not just grapple with my anxiety, but to start to do things. And the things that I'm doing that helps me with my anxiety, I need to talk to him about, and I need to invite him and encourage him to do it with me. See, my son is easily moldable. He'll do like whatever he's told to do. Me, I was not that way growing up. So with my son, if I'm doing something that helps me and I tell him it helps me, even though it might take a little coaxing after a while, I'll eventually get him to do it. And if it helps him, he gets really obsessed with it and gets into it and he'll do it. So the thing I've been focusing on, and I know many people listening to this podcast are going to be like, yeah, David, like, this is not new stuff. Like, you should know this. And you're right, I should know it. And I did know it. I just hadn't been doing it. And I hadn't been telling my son to do it, so he wasn't seeing me doing something, and he wasn't seeing me coming back saying, I'm having improvement in my anxiety, I'm sleeping better. He only heard me complaining when I wasn't sleeping good, when my anxiety was bad. He heard me talk to my wife about those things. So in the past 6 weeks, what I've been focusing on is, one, I got a new sleep app, so I can really focus on timing my sleep and try to really just plan certain windows. I've been putting my phone down, because if you guys aren't aware of our phones and the light they project at night, it makes it very difficult for us to get to sleep, because we need to have darkness to create melatonin and to have our brain start to calm down the noise, right? So watching TV, looking at my phone nonstop, I stopped doing that. Sometimes I'll listen to a podcast or I'll listen to some sort of audiobook, but that's a whole lot easier. There's no light, right? So I started doing that. I started really focusing on my breathing. I know a lot of people out there are big into breath work. Breath work is awesome. It's huge. It's great. Then I started to focus on not a lot of meditation, but just enough to calm my nerves in the morning. That's a work in progress. I got to get better at that one. But the biggest one that's helped me out the most, and I've been talking to my son about this the most, it's ironic because it's a joke with kids, is I've been going outside and I've been putting my feet in the grass in my backyard, sitting outside in the sun. And no matter how busy my workday is, I make sure that I do that every single day. And it's not a magic pill in the sense that it doesn't like make your anxiety go away. But I've been noticing, as I've been eating certain types of foods, and I'm not a nutritionist, so I'm not gonna get in that. You guys can figure that on your own. I personally do intermittent fasting, so that's part of what I do. But I've noticed what I've been eating, intermittent fasting, eating certain types of foods, and drinking a lot of water, which my wife always gets after me, but I have some serious dehydration issues from my bouts with COVID in the past. I don't know why, but I get super dehydrated super easily. And so when I get dehydrated, that triggers my heart issues, and I have real heart issues to the point where that spikes my anxiety. So I've been just kind of seeing this pattern and how it's been going on. By the way, I'm just using my story as an example, okay? But what I did was I've been telling my son, I go, hey, son, I go, you know, I've been just always complaining about not sleeping for the past year, not this, not that. He goes, yeah. I go, well, I'm going to start working on it and doing something different. So I'm going to start talking about the things I'm doing. You know what my son said? The very first thing, he goes, oh, Dad, that makes me so happy, because maybe I won't have to worry about you as much. I was like, worry about me as much? What do you mean? He's like, I'm always worried that, like, you know, if you don't get good sleep, I'm worried, like, oh my gosh, then my dad's gonna, you know, he's gonna be stressed. And if he's stressed, then it stresses me out. And here I am, the therapist that teaches everybody about the father, oldest son relationship, the transference of energy, the symbioticness of that relationship. My son is old enough to articulate it to me. He goes, yeah, dad, like, I don't want to talk about certain things because I don't want to add to your stress. I don't want to tell you if I'm worried about something because I'll go tell mom because I already know you're dealing with enough and I don't want you to be overwhelmed. So my son, in the past 6 weeks, as we've been doing that, my son's very sweet. Like, whenever we, like, bless our food at night, he will say a prayer and he'll add in our, first of all, our dentist had cancer and was really close to losing his life. Every single day before he goes to bed, at every meal, when he says the prayer, he goes, bless Tom for his cancer and then his neck will be better. Or I forget exactly what he says. And then now my father-in-law has got some health issues, so he's praying for him. And then he starts saying, and bless dad so that he can, really manage his anxiety and stress so he can be happier. And so he can enjoy certain things better. And so he's not giving all of his energy to make other people happy, that he can make himself happy too. So that was a big eye-opener to me. And so I'm going to read to you guys real quick what mirroring neurons actually are and how they work and why I've been talking about them for so long. And even though there's certain scientists go, oh, well, yeah, you can prove that it helps this, but you can't prove that it helps in these other areas. Hey, it's enough proof for me. In the research that I've read and the way I've seen how it works, is enough proof for me. So real quick, I'll just go through the definition of it. And then I'll leave you just with a suggestion to take home with you to how you could take this knowledge and information to help you with your kids and to be able to influence them in the ways that you'd like to influence them. So mirroring neurons are a special type of brain cell that activate both when you perform an action and when you observe someone else performing that action. For example, if you watch someone pick up a cup, the same neurons in your brain fire as if you were picking up the cup yourself. Number two is they talk about the discovery. First identified in the early 1990s by researchers in Parma, Italy. Okay, I knew it had something to do with Italy. Found in Macaque Indians in a region of the brain called the premotor cortex. Later, similar systems were suggested in humans, particularly in the frontal and parietal lobes. Gosh, I have a hard time pronouncing those big science words. Number three, functionings and theories. Mirror neurons are thought to play a big role in imitation and learning. They help us copy behaviors and acquire new skills. Empathy. When you see someone in pain, your mirror neurons may stimulate their experience internally, helping you feel what they feel. This is a huge part of human beings working together in communities and collaborating with each other, because if someone comes to your aid, you're so grateful and thankful, you feel like, oh, well, I should probably help them out. Well, there's a lot of feeling there that happens through the mirror neurons, because if you felt pain for that person, that would motivate you to help that person more than if you were just watching it, but you felt nothing. Social bonding and communication. Mirror neurons may underpin how we read body language and emotions. Language development. Some scientists theorize that mirror neurons lay the groundwork for human speech and gesture evolution. Now, there's a science debate. I'm not going to get into that one because there's enough science out there for the doctor that I follow, Matthew Lieberman. He believes that this is a big play in human bonding and connection, and of course in mental health. Number five, everyday examples. Yawning when you see someone yawn, contagious yawning. Flinching when you see someone about to get hurt. Oh my gosh, when I'm watching a jiu-jitsu match online or at the gym, I'm going, oh, when someone's leg's getting bent, or if I'm watching a football game and someone rolls their knee, I'm like, because I've blown out my knee, I'm like, oh, I can't watch it. I feel the pain as if it's happening to me. Smiling, when you see another person smile, it feels automatic to smile back. Okay. So in short, mirroring neurons are brain cells that reflect the actions and intentions and emotions of others inside your own nervous system. They may be one of the foundations of empathy, learning, and human connection. What I want to end this podcast with you guys is that we all know our kids are watching what we're doing and they're learning from us. But I want to drive home this point and make this very clear. It goes both ways. if you're seeing your kids struggling with something, it creates pain inside of you if you see that they're in pain. If you show your hand, so let's pretend this poker. If you show your hands like, baby, what's wrong? Are you okay? Is everything right? If you can see this on YouTube, like, look, my facial expressions are just extreme worry. Now your kid's looking at you and going, wait, what? Like, I actually wasn't really that worried, but now I feel like I should be worried. So with my parents and myself, I'm realizing that I have to be very careful what I'm mirroring back to my kid. If I'm mirroring that I'm pissed off and angry and frustrated because I have my own stress, my own anxiety, and that was just the tipping point for me. I couldn't handle my kid not being able to get a math problem right, or them not cleaning up their room when I told them to. If that is what they're getting from me, then they can misinterpret all these little issues that aren't even big issues as if it's a big tell that they have serious issues. So when I coach parents, I always say, you can discipline, don't not discipline. Just make sure you don't make the discipline personal. So you guys, be very cautious that what you look like, what you say, what you do, your kids are downloading that information and they will copy that information, especially when they're younger, without even realizing they're copying it. So if you don't want your child to have the same body insecurities that you do, the same, I'm just making up random stuff, right? I'm not saying whoever's listening to this, I know you have body insecurity issues. Maybe you're jacked and super fit. Maybe your issues is ego and your insecurities is what causes you to become so jacked and fit. Make sure you guys that you're very conscious and aware of what you're mirroring to your kids. And also if your kids are mirroring something to you, make sure if they're scared and fearful and you don't think that they should be scared and fearful, that you don't mimic back the same body language that they're mimicking to you. Don't freak out because they're freaking out. Stay calm. Be careful to not say things or do things that are going to cause them to be pushed over the edge. Some parents have argued with me, they go, oh, that's coddling. Like, my parents never did that for me. I go, well, yeah, that's true. They didn't. But if they knew about it and they're educated about it, maybe they would. Better ideas need to come through every generation of how to parent and how to become a child. So you guys, do your own research on mirroring neurons. Check it out for yourself and take this suggestion very seriously, because at the end of the day, the very first school we ever go to is the university of our family. And as parents, we will learn more by raising our own children than we ever could possibly learn from being raised by our kids, because our kids are mirroring back to us life experiences that, oh my gosh, I remember when I was that age. No wonder I acted that way. They get that from me. So as you guys always know, follow us on all social media platforms. Well, the ones that we're on, Instagram and also on TikTok. Also follow the Social Health Initiative. And at the end of the day, cool.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.